world. And indeed he did so. The Kesar said to him, how do you know? How do you know? So he said, I know because, what, we'll do a test. We'll do a test. We'll send them a carbon and we will see if they will offer your sacrifice. The Kesar sent a carbon and Bar Kamsa inflicted a blemish on the either on the lip or on the eye, a place, a type of blemish that for the Goyim it's insignificant, for us it is an issue. And they presented the animal into the Beis HaMikdash, and they had a very big discussion amongst the Talmidei Chachamim what to do with the animal. On the one hand, there's a blemish. On the other hand, there is Shulei Malchus. What should we do? And we mentioned yesterday that they could have done both. They could have offered the carbon because of Pikuach Nefesh, and they could have killed Bar Kamsa because he has demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is a threat to an existential threat to the Jewish people. When you have an existential threat to the Jewish people, you should eliminate the threat. And what did they do? They debated. And what did Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis, this is the Rebbe of Meir Appeldorf, what did he decide to do? You do nothing. Nothing. We're going to do nothing.
I've done nothing.
We're going to do nothing. And Rabbi Yochanan made a comment that because of the anvisanusai shel Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis, look what happened. Yerushalayim was now Chorav. This Kesar put into motion, yet, but he put into motion the Churban of Yerushalayim. Because of the anvisanusai shel Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis. Now, by the way, I want to just point out that on Tisha B'Av, I used to say in the olden days, I used to say that there are two Zecharias on Tisha B'Av. There are two Zecharias. No, I said it also.
I think that's what you
said. No, that was last year. Okay, last year we said that Zechariah Wallerstein had the milis of the two Zecharias of Tisha B'Av. Okay. But he said there are two Zecharias on Tisha B'Av. Who are the two Zecharias on Tisha B'Av? There is Zechariah ben Yehoyakim. Zechariah ben Yehoyakim appears all over the Kinois. He was a Navi. He was the son of Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim was the person who hid Yoash. A story, a whole long story of who this person was. He was the son of a very famous person who saved the day. Yehoyakim, he was a Kohen. It was the bottom line is it was Shabbos Yom HaKippurim. Okay, there's the whole story without going into details. It was Shabbos Chol HaMoed. It was Shabbos Yom Kippur. And he was in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was preaching and telling the people, stop doing Avodah Zarah. He was a Navi, he was a Chocham, he was a Dayon, Shabbos, Yom Kippurim, and the people were tired with the Musar, they couldn't take all the Musar, so they asked permission from the king, Yoash, can we just get rid of this guy already for once and for all? He's annoying us. So he said, the king says, yes, get rid of him. And they murdered him in cold blood on Shabbos Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash as he was giving a sermon, as he was giving over words of prophecy, some say, to Klal Yisrael to stop, to cut out the nonsense. His blood bubbled for approximately 200 years. Approximately for 200 years until Nebuzaradan entered into the Beis HaMikdash, conquered the Beis HaMikdash, and he saw this blood that was bubbling. He said to the people there, what is this? They said, oh, it's just the blood of an animal, some chemical reaction, and it's bubbling. He did some tests. He saw they were lying to him. He made a thorough investigation, and he discovered that this person was a prophet that was killed about 200 years ago. And he said, Zechariah, I am going to appease your blood.
Avenge
your blood. And he slaughtered the Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin Gedoyla, Sanhedrin Ketana, the Gedoylim of Klal Yisrael, and then he continued to slaughter, I think it says 94,000 children on the blood of Zechariah. And the blood did not calm down. The blood continued to bubble. He said to the blood, Zechariah, I've already taken the best of Klal Yisrael. Do you want me to finish them all off? The Gemara says later, the next daf says this. So at that moment in time, the blood stopped bubbling. This story is presented in the Kinois at least three times. Okay, two times, there's a whole kina devoted to this, and then there's another kina that mentions it very, very, very prominently, and it's mentioned in other places. So we have to remember that on Tisha B'Av, Zechariah ben Yehoyakim appears very prominently. He's all over the place. The tragedy of what has occurred. There's another Zechariah, and that Zechariah is Zechariah ben Berechiah. Berechiah. He was the Zechariah that we laid. He's the Zechariah of the Terei Aser. He is the Zechariah that talks about the Geula Hasidah, talks about the Bayis Shvili, the Bayis Sheni, the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah. The menorah, the vision of the menorah, the pools of Shemen, the menorah Zohav, and he prophesies to Yehoshua Koyin Godol, you're wearing dirty clothing, your children are not going in your ways. And that Zechariah, that's the Zechariah that is of Trey Osar, and that's the Zechariah that also said, Oid Yeshu Zikenim Uzikenois Berechovos Yerushalayim, the day will come when there will be Zikenim Uzikenos and Mechovos Yerushalayim, there will be children playing in front of them, and will be holding their staff in their hand. There's some very beautiful things that Zechariah said about the Gula Hasida. Okay, that Zechariah also appears in, I think it appears in the first Kina of the day, that the Chazoin of Ben Berechiah, two Zecharias. Okay, and there's a lot to learn from that Zechariah. Okay, now I didn't prepare this at this moment what to talk about that Zechariah. So I always used to say is that on Tisha B'Av there are two Zecharias. There's the Zechariah ben Berechiah, the Chazoin of Zechariah ben Berechiah, which is a very important nevuah because it talks about the Bayis Sheni, the building of the Bayis Sheni, the Begodim Tzoyim of Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, and also the Nechama of Od Yeshu Zekenim Zekenes. And then there's the Zechariah ben Berechiah. Zechariah ben Berechiah, L'chor, they lived very close to each other. They lived probably, about both of them lived possibly like during... No. Zechariah ben Berechiah was later, I think. Zechariah ben Berechiah was towards the time of the Churban, close to the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. But the truth is, I realized this year that on Tisha B'Av, there are three Zecharias. Zechariah ben Berechiah, Zechariah ben Yehoyada, and Rebbe Zechariah ben Avkulois. Yeah. And Zechariah ben Avkulois is the Bayis Sheni. Let's not make any mistake over here. Zechariah ben Yehoyakim is the Bayis Rishon. Zechariah ben Yehoyada was towards the middle of the Bayis Rishon. Zechariah ben Berechiah was the end of the Bayis Rishon. And here we have someone, Zechariah ben Avkulis, was not a Navi, obviously. Nevuah came to an end long ago, 400 years before this, but he's living now at the tail end of the Bayis Sheni, and he is from the greatest of the rabbis, of the Talmidei Chacham, the Tanoim of Klal Yisrael, and as Chazal tell us, Chacham Odif Minavi. There is a dimension of being a Chacham that's even greater than the act of prophecy. And he is also a chelik of the Churban. Mevnei anvisonusoi shel Zechariah ben Avkulois Chorva Yerushalayim. So there are three Zecharias, and it's very kedai to try to analyze, not now, to analyze, it's not a coincidence that all of them share the same name. They share the name Zechariah. In the second kina that we read on Tisha B'Av by day, the motif of the kina is Veloi Zocharta. We bitterly complain to Hashem over and over again, I think even 22 times, Veloi Zocharta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could it be that you did not remember us? You did not remember us. Veloi Zocharta, you did not remember all the bris ben absar, all the different glorious moments of Jewish history. We in the kinois complain Veloi Zocharta. And obviously, the reason why Hashem didn't remember us is because we did not remember Him. And these three people, these three individuals, are major players in reference to describing the Churban and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the events that occurred, three Zecharias. It's not a coincidence that this name reoccurs again And again, the three, it is a topic, make a drasha, the three Zecharias of Tisha B'Av. To go through each one, how they are relevant, related to Tisha B'Av, the differences between them, the message, to appreciate the Chut HaMeshulash of the three unique elements of Zechariah, of Zechira, Zechariah ben Berechia, Zechariah ben Yehoyada, and Zechariah ben Avkulais. Each one is directly connected to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is just a teaser for the upcoming featured film starring Meir Appeldorf on the three Zecharias of Tisha B'Av. There's no joke over here. Tisha B'Av is not a time to make jokes. Okay. What? The Yom Tov. Okay. Now here it goes. That's just something I find that to be okay. That's just something which came. Now we go to the next part of the story of this story is where the Caesar. He's a mystery man. Who is the Caesar? Who is the Caesar? Who is he? Doesn't say anywhere who he was. I'm sure these books, they'll tell you who he is. Who says they know that? Who says we even know who he is? It doesn't say anywhere who the Caesar is. We know the next Caesar. We know who the next Caesar is going to be. It's going to be Aspasianus, Vespasian. But right now, we don't know who is the Caesar that the story begins with. I'm going to go to the Caesar. Bar Kamsa goes to the Caesar. Who? What's his name? Right, so we don't really know.
So it is possible to get things.
The Gemara never says who the Caesar is. Does not say who the original Caesar is. It just now he says, okay, we're now gonna. You have convinced me. Bar Kamsa has succeeded in convincing the Caesar that the Jewish people have rebelled. Mordu boch Yehudoi. So he sends now Niroin, and it says Shas Shadabei. The five lines. What is it? Five lines down. He sends Niroin. I lost the place over here. Here we go. Always losing the place. Where is the place? Shadar Ilavayu Leniroin Kesar. Now, there's a big discussion. I can dwell upon this. Why was he called Niroin Kesar? Why was he called Niroin Kesar? He's not the Kesar. He's not the Kesar. He'll never be the Kesar. So it seems like, just like you say, there's the President of the United States. There is the vice president. The word Caesar is the chief. He is the Caesar. So Neron was an assistant. He was a member of the cabinet. He was now the general.
Could he have been the regional governor?
Could be. Many different ideas have been suggested. He's not the Caesar. He's been dispatched by the Caesar. Why then are we calling him the Caesar? Neron Caesar. So it seems like, you know, he's the vice president. He's a member of the government staff. He's a member of the cabinet. He has an official title. When they give him a name. He has a name. And then they append to the name the word Caesar to indicate that, like, he's an assistant to the Caesar. He was appointed to be the general that would carry out the Churban Yerushalayim. So, Nero, yeah?
He was crazy and he burned Rome.
He was what?
The Nero that we are familiar with.
Nero, right. So this, the historians claim, is Nero.
There was no such instrument as a fiddle.
Okay, they claim that this is Nero. Nero disappeared, by the way. Nero, there is a certain truth, because Nero historically is a very mysterious person in history. What happened to Nero? And many suggest that Nero indeed is Nero. Nero of the Gemara is Nero in history, in this account, in Roman history. For let's see, Leniron Caesar, ki ka'asi, what did he do? So he was in Nichush. In those days, everyone was into divining, okay, magic, and he wanted to do a test to determine if he'll be successful. So he shot over here. Now, how many arrows? You would say he shot four arrows to the four sides of the world, but the Gemara really says he shot six arrows. Let's see. Kiyasa shod gira lemizrach. He shot an arrow to the east. Bila, where is Rome? Rome is in the east. Rome is in the west. So if you're shooting it to the east, so where else should it land? In the east. No chiddush. There's no miracle if you shoot an arrow if you're standing in the west and you're shooting an arrow to the east, and it goes to the east, that's not a miracle. That's the way it's supposed to, that's teva, that's nature. Okay, this is difficulty in the Gemara. Let's see. Shad L'chayra, where is Neron standing? Rome is to the west of Yerushalayim. So if you're in the west and you're facing Yerushalayim, like you're davening, and you're davening, so you shoot an arrow to the east. So if the arrow goes straight and lands towards Yerushalayim, very good. That's not called Nichush. That's not called magic. That's called nature. If you shoot to the east and the arrow goes straight, that indicates that, you know, that's not a sign that you're going to succeed. Let's do the Gemara. So he went and he shot Kishada, Kikasi Shada Gira, Lemizrach. Asa Nafal, it fell, Birushalayim. Lemarev, he put his back to Yerushalayim and he shot an arrow to America. Lemarev, and he shot an arrow to the west. Asa Nafal, Birushalayim. A miracle happened. The arrow made an about face, turned 180 degrees and went to Yerushalayim, not Yerushalayim. And then it says, La'arba ruchos ha'shamayim. So what would that, either you shot to the north and the south, but they should say, why didn't the Gemara say north and south? Instead it says he shot arrows to the four sides of the world, which would seem to indicate that he shot another four arrows, plus the two original arrows, for a grand total of six arrows. There are a lot of strange things in the Gemara which need to be discussed, fine. Also, Nafal, it fell in Birushalayim. So Amalei Liyanuka. So that was enough of Avodah Zarah, Nichush, this is black magic, this is Koichei Satuma. He then went to a child, and he said to the child, child, did you go to yeshiva today? Tell me, what did you learn in yeshiva today? Tell me the pasuk that you learned in yeshiva. This is something which people do, which is not Nichush. This is something which is like taking the girl Hagra. This is a technique that Chazal sanction. And a person who wants to have some type of divine communication, you stop a child on the street and you ask them, what did you learn today? Bahashkocha pratis. What the child will tell you will be a message for you. This is not Avodah Zarah. This is something which you can do, which is sanctioned by Chazal. In fact, the gross, there's a Mesoira, that if you go to shul, anyone get an aliyah today? Did anyone here get an aliyah today? Unexpected, no planning. The Hashem put a machshav into the mind of the Gabbai. Oh, give this person an aliyah. There's a mesorah. There's a message in the kriya for you. Look carefully at exactly what they laned for you with Rashi. And there's going to be something there in the Chumash and Rashi that's going to jump out, leap off the page, and speak to your heart. And there's something bothering you, a message, or something that's on your mind, a dilemma. Hashem is speaking to you and giving you a message. This is what you should do. There's such a Messiah. You have to be a holy person to really you got to be careful. Be careful with this. But there's such a concept that if a person out of nowhere, like, you know, when it's especially very poignant is when you're in a shul, you're a Yisrael, and you're in a shul, and there's no Kohen. Is there a Kohen? There's no Kohen. Okay, Yamod, and out of the blue, they call up a Yisrael, Bimkoim Kohen. Wow, what are the chances a Yisrael would get that Aliyah? There's a message here for you. It's not a joke. Chazal, there's such a Mesoira. But you have to be a holy person. You have to really be, you know, holding somewhere. So over here, Nero did exactly this. He asked a child, tell me, what did you learn today? Obviously, Nero, he knew something. He was a Shtikl Talmud Chacham. He knew something over here. Amar Liyanuka.
Haman also did.
Haman knew everything, because Haman worked. Haman was a slave to Jews. Okay, the Nazis, Yemach Shemam Vizichram, they knew everything. So he lived a long time then. Long after, no, 42. So
before.
Okay, so it's long time before. It doesn't fit then. It doesn't make sense then. The numbers don't add up. Okay, there's a lot of discussion. The numbers are not accurate or whatever it is. I don't know. This is a big topic. Exactly who was Nero, and who is Neron? Could it be the same person? You'll say the numbers don't add up. It doesn't sound like, if it was 42 years before the Korban, it doesn't sound like it adds up. The Korban was the year 70. According to our understanding, it was in the year 70.
But in this sort of test, he's like,
covering his bases, because first he's using what in Rome would be a standard technique. Now he's, since it involves Eretz Yisrael, he's using a local technique. Right? To cover.
Okay, there are many. The Gemara is as every Agadah Gemara, it's there's an infinite number of lessons, ideas. I'll give for example when it says over there, they shot an arrow to the east, shot an arrow to the west. So I saw in this beautiful sefer that I have, the sefer called the Ikve HaGolos. It's a telephone book on this 3-4 daf. Goes to everything in the world. It's too much. I can't even. It's just overwhelming how all the information over here. And so he says, what does it mean, the east and the west? He shot an arrow to determine if the zuchus of the Mizrach is going to stand for Klal Yisrael. What is the zuchus of the Mizrach? I don't even remember what he said. I think he says tefillah. Klal Yisrael, where do we daven? Jews typically, where do they live? They daven to the Mizrach. It's not so good. It's the other thing, the Mizrach. The Mizrach, there's a certain, it's like a code word. Does Klal Yisrael have the zchus of the Mizrach? What would for us be the zchus of the Mizrach? We dive into the Mizrach. When the Jews were exiled in the time of the Bayis Rishon, and they went to Rome, and they went into Golis, so where did they daven? Every single day they davened. Doniel, Ish Chamudois, he made holes, he made windows in his cell. So when Daniel was davening, in which direction was Daniel davening? Well, truth was he was davening west, because Daniel was taken to Bavel. So taken to Bavel, was davening west. So that doesn't work. So maybe Daniel way around. Okay, I don't remember exactly, but he says over here, I don't remember what he says. He says over here that when he says that he shot an arrow to the east and the west, he meant he wanted to test, does Klal Yisrael have merit? Do they have merit in the zuchus of different halachic concepts that are symbolized with the term east? Do they have merit with different concepts that are symbolized with the word west? I don't remember what they are. Something like that. Okay. Then he asked the child for the pasuk. The pasuk, the child told the pasuk that you're going to be successful, but Hashem is going to take you and burn you in Gehenna for what you're going to do. So he came to the child. He asked the child, Yuniko psukli psukech. Tell me your pasuk, Amalei, V'nasati yestik masi be'edoim, B'yad ami Yisrael, I will exact my vengeance against Edoim because of what they've done to my people. So Omar, now this to me is a very incredible thing, what it says now in the Gemara. Omar, who's speaking here? Neron. Neron is a goy. He's a goy. He just engaged in Nichush. Nichush is a chi of Misa, it's Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to do it in Jewish law. Nichush, he went, he shot arrows. He then asked the child, okay, that's not so bad, but he shot arrows. He's a guy, he's part of the highest echelons of the Roman government. The Romans were barbarians. The Romans were wicked, wicked as can possibly be. And here he says, look what he says here. Omar, is this a quotation? Kudsha Berichu. He calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is that how a guy today calls Hashem? They call Hashem God. What does God mean, by the way? I don't even know. God. What does God mean? God. G-O-D. I don't know. But he calls, that's not what it is. He says over here, there are many, many ways you can refer to Hashem. Many ways. The Gemara over here, this Divrei Agada, Neron, he's over here at this moment in time before he abandons his plan, before he runs away. At this moment in time, he is referring to the Creator, the Boire, the Master. He's calling Hashem, Kudusha Berichu, the Holy One, blessed is He. That's a very powerful term to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very religious term, a very pious term. Yeah. And that is how he refers to Hashem. Okay, I'm not going to argue with that. But why did the Gemara select this term? There are so many terms to refer to Hashem. The Gemara is putting in the mouth of Neron, a guy, the highest level of power in the Roman government, and he's the first thing that he says is Kudusha Berichu. There's something here very big going on. Obviously, this neshama, this person, Nero, and from the very beginning, from the very, very start, is a very holy neshama. And he right away appreciated that this is not the right thing to do. Boy lecharuvei beise, he wants to destroy his bias. Uboy lechapure yode.
I don't know why you're imputing to him such holy motive.
Kudish shabruchu, it's a very holy term.
The Gemara put that there.
Okay, I'm not going to argue. Oh. Fine, okay. Uboy, okay, let's go weiter. I'm not going
to attack Yerushalayim just like that, because history tells you
you're not going to be successful.
Right? Disaster.
Okay, but over here, the arrows all went in the direction.
He has clearance.
He has clearance. The clearance is the arrows all were successful.
Yeah.
And the child said to him that there's going to be success. But by the way, there's going to be consequences. Boy, and Hashem wants to go wipe his hands on that person. Now, let's stop for a moment and take a look over here. Over here, there are two ways. This is a short idea. There are many things. This is a big, big topic of nichush. Many Jews, when you get an aliyah, you get an aliyah, and they lane for you a certain pasuk. Why isn't that nichush? Loi sinachashu. You're not allowed to engage in nichush. It's an isser deraisa. How could it be that there's such a thing that is sanctioned by Chazal? If you get an aliyah, oh, there's a message. How could there be something called a goril hagra? I don't know what to do. So you take a certain chumash, and you fast, and you do teshuva, and you mish the pages seven times, you put your finger here and there. Oh, divine revelation, the Urim Vitumim telling me what to do. That's nichush. Nichush. Don't get married in the second half of the month, when the sun, the moon is waning, because it's not a good siman. Nichush! I mean, in Judaism, there's all of these things that we do, there's like no end to it. Why aren't these blatant, open violations of nichush? Why not? There are many svarim written on this topic. There are so many things where various Jews, Orthodox Jews, are extremely superstitious. Extremely. Extremely superstitious. This is a bad siman, do this, ayin hara. You see them running around with all these segulas. They change their name. The name the parents gave them is not good enough. You change their name. They wear the red band. They do this. Like there's no end to it. People, they get really worked up about this. Nichush. No, it's okay. My rabbi told me it's okay. My hi. So here,
don't try this at home. Here,
there's a very good Gemara that's very revealing. Nero and Nero did two things. They're both like nichush. One thing is he shot arrows. If you want to say he shot six arrows, east, west, and then Nachamol, all four corners of all four sides, and they all went to Yerushalayim. He shot arrows. All of the arrows said, "Go for it, go for it, full speed ahead, Captain, full speed ahead, put the throttle on full, go for it." And then he did another act of what we would seemingly say is nichush, but it's not. You're allowed to do this. You're allowed to go say to him, "I wouldn't try it, because today we're not on a madrega to play with this type of stuff." But there's something called go ask a child a pasuk. You go to a child, you ask a child a pasuk. Mordechai did this, right? Mordechai in the Megillah. Tell me the chazal. What did you learn today? And the child tells you, "Oh, it's a simen hashemayim, nichush." There's a very big difference. When he asked the child told him two things. Number one, you will succeed. Number two, there will be accountability. When is the nichush? Nichush is when there's no accountability. When you play games, should I do it? Should I not do it? Will I succeed? Whenever you take a pasuk, in order that it should not be called nichush, when you do these segulois, the Gemara over here says, the child told him, when he did the real nichush of shooting arrows, there's no musar. Shoot the arrow. Wherever you shoot the arrow will turn miraculously and go and land in Yerushalayim or towards Yerushalayim, no matter what you do. In other words, the koyach hatoma, when you're dealing with, I don't know what these things are, you're going and you're tapping in, there's some mystical, this is beyond my understanding, this Koiches HaTumah, you're communicating with the other world, with the dead, and the Koiches HaTumah, they're going to tell you what to do to succeed. the Koichos HaTumah will never ever reveal to you accountability, the consequences, the ramifications for what's going to happen when you do it. Whenever you want to engage in some type of mystical, you shouldn't do this, of course. Today we don't do these things. We're not these type of people. But ever you're going and you're engaging in, oh, it's a bad simen, this. In order for it not to be nichush, that you should be tapping in to kedusha, it's a double-edged sword. You want to do it? Okay. You'll be successful. But you should be aware of the consequences, the ramifications. You'll be successful, Nero. You'll destroy Yerushalayim, but you're going to burn in Gehenna also. That comes from the Koyach of Kedusha. The Koyach of Kedusha always will bring with it accountability. The Koyach of Tumah, there's no accountability. No accountability. You know, it's interesting, these last 2 years, every day you hear about Elf Alados, these Senate hearings, like a broken record. They put on the stand, you name it, every secretary, the head of the FBI, the head of the CIA, the Fauci and this, and they present them with blatant, outright criminal activity. And what happens? Nothing. Zero. No one loses their job. They only get raises. Zero. A broken record. This is the Koyach of Nichush. You can do whatever you want. There's no accountability. When he asked the child, the Koyach is HaKedusha, you're going to succeed. You're going to succeed. No, but you're asking, you're tapping into the Koyach of Kedusha. The Koyach of Kedusha comes Schar V'Oinish. There's reward and punishment. There's no free lunch. Okay, let's go further. So Neron says, I'm out of here. I don't want this. What does he do? He says, Kudsh Brichu, Orak. He runs away. V'Ozal, V'Igayer. He becomes a ger. V'Nofak Minei, Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Meir Appeldorf is sitting right here today. The butt of all the jokes. And long out of him comes from the Helik of Rebbe Meir. The Rebbe Meir's Stam Mishnah is K'Rebbe Meir. Pile Ploim, Admaoid. That Rebbe Meir, the Heluk of Rebbe Meir, is mamish, the Tan of every Mishnah, comes from Niroin. It's just shocking. It's a shocking thing.
Only what he said to shame Rabbi
Akiva. It's an incredibly shocking thing that he was Zoicha. You do see over here something there. You see every time Rabbi Sai, what do you learn from this? You learn a Mordechai Limud almost every time you learn a Mishnah. You learn a Daf Gemara, because every Daf Gemara is just coming to elucidate a Mishnah. You're tapping in to the Binyan Yerushalayim. Niroin made a decision, I will not destroy Yerushalayim. I will not. And from Niroin came Rebbe Meir. When you learn a Mishnah, you're connecting yourself to that Koyach Yerushalayim. Ir HaKodesh. How could you dare? How could the Mokom of the Hashruas HaShchina, the place where Hashem is resting His Divine Presence, you're going to tamper? You're going to tamper with that? This has to be preserved. Learning Torah ki mitzion teitse soira udivar Hashem mirushalayim. Torah and Yerushalayim are intertwined. They cannot be separated. The Kedusha, Torah is not just a Chochmah. It's a divine Chochmah. It's a divine Chochmah that comes from the Shechina that is resting in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. A person who had the power to go and be Machriv Yerushalayim and chose, made a Bechira Chofshes, a decision to give it all up. Orak. V'Igayer, according to some, Nero just disappeared off the face of the earth. It's a very big mystery, but the numbers, that's a big topic, is the same person, not the same person, but the Gemara tells about Nero, Torah is rooted in Yerushalayim. It's a very famous story with Yirmiyahu. When Yirmiyahu, when he saw the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, he saw the smoke. So who was it? With Aristotle. Right? Aristotle or Plato? Who was it? Aristotle, Plato, remember which one? Plato, I think. So Plato said to Yirmiyahu, this is the legend. Plato said to Yirmiyahu, what are you so upset about? So it's bricks and stones. What are you so upset that Jerusalem is on fire? So he asked him he asked Plato some questions. And Plato didn't have an answer. He asked him some very difficult questions. And Plato didn't have an answer. And then Yirmiyahu told him the answers. And Plato was blown away by the brilliance of Yirmiyahu. Wow, how did you come up with that answer? So Yirmiyahu said, that's the answer to your question. Why am I so upset about the bricks and stones and the wood that's burning in Yerushalayim? All of my knowledge, this question that I asked you that you were not able to answer and I was able to answer, where do you think that knowledge came from? The knowledge came from the stones, the wood, the cement, the earth of that makom. That makom is not just a place of bricks and stones. This is a place of a divine connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chochmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Torah. That's where it comes from. Nero decided not to tamper, to preserve the sanctity of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim and Torah intertwined. Memela, it's only fitting that from Nero shall come the Or HaTorah. Rabbi Meir, Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. It's not a coincidence. Acherim.
Acher. Okay. And also,
the Rabbi said, Me'achorai, right, from behind.
It's like,
now there are two people, this is important, this is another idea, there are two people in the story of the Churban Beis HaMikdash that were Megayer, that stood down. Who were the two people? Nivuzar Adan, in the Bayis Rishon, the chief executioner, who murdered 211,000 people in Yerushalayim and 94,000 children. That's what it says about him. He was a mass murderer. He was a tyrant. Nivuzar Adan, he was the murdered chief executioner of Nebuchadnezzar, and he actually murdered untold number of people, committed the worst atrocities. And at the very end, after the blood of Zechariah ben Yehoyada stopped bubbling, he said to the blood, I've already killed the best. Do you want me to kill them all? And the blood stopped. It was a pachad that entered the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, wow, if for the murder of one person, Zechariah ben Yehoyada, it happened that I avenged his blood by killing all of these people, I can't even begin to imagine what's going to happen to me. If this one person was killed, and look what happened, can you imagine what I've done? I've killed all these people, what's going to happen to me? So at that moment, Nivuzar Adan was Maharher Bisheshuva, and he was also Orak Vigir. He gave it all up and he ran away and he was Megayer. It doesn't say what came from him. Could be nothing came from him because he already committed too many atrocities, too many crimes, but he was Megayer. The other person that was Megayer, the only other prominent person that was Megayer in this whole story of Tisha B'Av is Nero in Kesar, the Bayis Sheni. So these two people are put on a pedestal as far as Goyim, our enemies, who participated in the Churban and reacted, who made observations, who studied what has been going on and came to a conclusion and acted upon it and were Megayer. Nebuzar Adan in the Bayis Rishon and Nero in Kesar in the Bayis Sheni. There's a very big...
Both of them then at name starts with Nimrod and finishes with Nimrod.
Interesting. Niroin and Nivuzaradan. You're right. Very interesting. Two nuns. You're saying good. And what is, but there's a very big difference between the two. There's a very big difference. What is the difference between the two? Niroin was inspired to be Megayer. What we can say is because of Adam Lamokim. This is Hashem's Beis HaMikdash. It's His holy place. I'm now being commanded to destroy this, to destroy Yerushalayim. And Hashem wants me, it says only the words, to His words, Hashem wants me to destroy His bias, to be machriv His bias, and He's going to wipe His hands on me. It was, He called Him, Kudsh Brichu. No, and He said, Hashem, Kudsh Brichu, Hashem, Hashem, He wants me to do this. Nivu Zar Adon, his focus was Ben Adam Lachaveroi. And there's a medrash or a chazal that says, what really shook up Nivu Zar Adon? He saw that he was able to be Mephayes, a Jew. Jews are very easygoing. Here you have Yehoyada Zechariah ben Yehoyada. He was murdered in cold blood, Shabbos Yom Kippur, in the Beis HaMikdash, as he was preaching, giving Musar to Klal Yisrael. Murdered in cold blood. Zechariah ben Yehoyada didn't let this down. His blood bubbled for 200 years. The Nebuzaradan slaughtered on his blood the Sanhedrin and the Gedola Yisrael and 94,000 children. I'm not giving up. My blood is still bubbling. I'm not appeased what you've done to me. How dare you? And then Nebuzaradan spoke gently. He spoke to him. He said, Zechariah, I've killed the best. Would you like me to proceed and kill them all? Should I continue? For some reason, those words struck a chord with Zechariah ben Yehoyada. You begin to wonder, what would have been if Nebuzaradan would have said to, what would have happened? No one knows. No, we don't know the answer. But what would have been if Nebuzaradan would have said to the bubbling blood, Zechariah, I opened up all of the secret classified files of the Jewish people. And I've discovered a big secret. The secret is, you were murdered. You were murdered by the king, like, you know, like Lahavdil, a billion, Elif Alfa Avdalis on steroids. I've opened up the files and we've discovered that Kennedy wasn't assassinated by Oswald. He was assassinated. Okay? That's what happened over here. This is mamash what happened. Everyone, why is the blood bubbling? No one knows. So Nebuzaradan went into the secret files. He did his research and he said, Zechariah, I know the secret. I know what happened. You were murdered. The king, Yoash himself, signed off on your murder. I know the secret. Let me ask you, Zechariah, would you like me to take revenge for you and kill them all? What would have happened? What would have happened? Would the blood at that moment in time stopped bubbling? I don't know. What would have happened? All we know is he didn't ask. We do know as a fact that he didn't ask the question. That we do know. The Gemara says he went, he proceeded. I know what happened, and I'm going to take care of things for you. I'm going to take care of things for you. I will now go and avenge your blood. Don't worry. And he went and he attempted to avenge the blood. And guess what? He wasn't unsuccessful. The blood was still bubbling. And now he asked a question, a simple little question. Would you like me to kill them all? And now the blood stops bubbling. Meikoda masava lusayf masava. I don't know the answer. This, I'm just trying to just throw out different ideas. Is there a possibility that if Nebuzaradan would have asked Zechariah in the very beginning, should I kill everyone? Maybe the blood would have stopped bubbling right away. I've made my point. My blood has bubbled. I'm the guilty conscience of Klal Yisrael, and now that the chait is presented in front of them, front and center, and they see what the consequences are going to be, maybe that's enough. Ad kan. Would a goy, now the sefer that I have, I think that maybe in this sefer he seems to say is, I don't know how you can say everything over here is conjecture, there's no proof to anything. Nivusar Adon put himself in the shoes of Zechariah. And Nevuzaradan said to himself, if I were in your shoes, and the same thing would have happened, and there would be a chief executioner that would say to me, I've killed the best, should I kill them all? You know what I would have said? Yes, of course. Proceed. Continue. Kill them all, every last one of them. Hitler, Yamach Shemo Vizra, would have certainly done that. Keep on going, every last one of them, to avenge my blood. And what? The blood stops bubbling? A human being can be forgiving? A human being who has been harmed, has been murdered in cold blood, is able, the neshama of a person is able to say, Ad kan? I can't believe this. This is true nobility. I want to be like this. I'm done here. Nevuzaradan, Ad kan, I'm out of here. No more. He ran away with Megaya. What became of him, who knows? There is an obscure medrash, a very obscure medrash, he had the quotes over here, that says, goes through all the different goyim, the B'nai Banav Shal Haman, the B'nai Banav Shal Sancheiriv, Niron with Rav Meir, goes a long collection of things, and it includes there also the B'nai Banav of Nevuzaradan. Shocking thing to say, that he should have a great grandchildren that were Oisik and Torah, whatever that means. But he stopped and it was Megayer. There are two people in the story of Tisha B'Av, of the Goyim, that studied the story of the Churban, and it affected them. Ad Kidei Kach, they stopped in their tracks and they did something very significant. Niroin in the Bayis Sheni, and the Vuzar Adon in the Bayis Rishon. Why do they have to be two different individuals? Why wouldn't we have one is enough? Well, there's a very big difference between the two. Niron, every person know different strokes for different folks. Different things affect different people. Niron was affected with his relationship with Kudosh Baruch Hu and Hashem's Bayis. There are two worlds. There's the Adam LaMokoim and Adam LaChaveroi. To appreciate the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then there's an appreciation of Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. In Klal Yisrael, to see how Nevuzaradan said Ad kan, and we begin to wonder, I don't know what the answer is. We begin to wonder, what would have been if he would have said this question to the Zechariah in the very beginning? Maybe Zechariah would have said, if I see that you're going to punish another Jew because of me, you know, we say in Kriya Shema Al Hamita, if we say it, V'lo ye'onesh shum adam b'sibasi. We're supposed to say this every single night. No person should be punished on my account. He did not ask the question to Nivu. Just because his blood was bubbling doesn't necessarily mean that Zechariah wanted the whole Klal Yisrael to be destroyed because of the crime that was committed against him. We don't know. I don't know. We don't know. Nevuzaradan did not ask the question. He just went and proceeded. I'm going to take care of things for you. And then, so why didn't the blood stop bubbling in the middle? Chvesnesh, I don't know. But when he asked the question, it stopped. And that had an effect, a profound effect, an effect that changed his life because of Yisrael, not the Ribbono Shel Olam, a Yisrael, a human being. Niroin converted for a completely different reason. He saw the koyach of the Ribbono Shel Olam, accountability. Hashem is not pleased with his children. They are misbehaving, and Hashem needs to punish them. And Hashem needs a tool, an instrument to do his work. And there's accountability for that person also, that to go and be, get involved in such a a behavior of he saw the Ribbono Shel Olam's koyach. Two completely different types of approaches. So now the one that was really in stock was the Kesar. The Kesar found out that his Niron Kesar disappeared. So what did he do? He sent a new guy, Kiko Ossi. So what happened? He sent now a new person. He sent Aspasionus. Let me find the place over here. Let me find the place over here. So we got Shadre Ilavayu La Aspasionus Kesar. Ah. So now the Kesar says, okay, Neron is out of the picture. I need a replacement. Who's next in line? He selected this fellow called Aspasionus Kesar, known as Vespasian. Vespasian. The Kesar, which, why is he called Kesar? Same thing. Kesar means Kesar means that he was the assistant. He basically was the replacement for Neron. Also, Tsar Allah Tlashane, he laid siege 3 years. Now, this is very interesting, 3 years, because this reveals that the siege of Yerushalayim, the Bayis Sheni, was a direct parallel to the siege of the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon, we know that there are four steps in the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. Asar B'Teves, Shavas B'Tamuz, Tisha B'Av, and Tzom Gedalia. I always used to like to not make a joke, but I say that, you know, we should really only have Tisha B'Av every 4 years. What do I mean every 4 years? It's a four-part process. The beginning of the Churban Bayis Rishon took place on Asara B'Teves. This is when Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Yerushalayim. And then what was the next? Then how long did that siege last? 3.5 years. From Asar B'Teves until Shavas B'Tamuz, 3.5 years later. And then Shavas B'Tamuz until Tisha B'Av, 3 weeks. It took them, that's when they breached the walls, until they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And then according to one opinion, there was 1.5 years until Tzom Gedalia. Nebuchadnezzar appointed Gedalia ben Achikim to be the governor, to remain in Eretz Yisrael, to be in charge of the Sheres HaPleita. You can live there, occupy the land, take possession. And then this fellow Yishmael was a very jealous Chaleria, and with the assistance of the nation of Aram, he murdered, assassinated Gedalia ben Achikim on Rosh Hashanah, or on the second day Rosh Hashanah, or on the third day, Gimel Tishrei, and then everyone was terrified and they fled Yerushalayim. So therefore the whole process, L'chora, took place over 4.5 years. The siege was Asar B'Teves. 3.5 years later, on Shavas B'Tamuz, on the 9th day of Tammuz, they breached the walls. 3 weeks later was Tisha B'Av, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And then, according to one opinion, a year and a month later, Gedalia ben Achikim was assassinated and everyone ran away. So we should follow the cycle. We should start off with Asar B'Teves, and then 3.5 years later we'll have Shavas B'Tamuz, and 3 weeks later we'll have Tisha B'Av, and then 1.5 years later we'll have Tzom Gedalia, and then the 5th year we'll start the cycle over again. Obviously Chazal did not see things that way, and they decided that in commemoration of these events we accelerate the Churban process in 1 year. We accelerate everything in 1 year. We go in one shot. Asar B'Teves, Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, Shavas B'Tamuz, Tisha B'Av, and Tzom Gedalia in one shot. So what's interesting over here is that in the Bayis Rishon, there was 3 years between Asar B'Teves, Shavas B'Tamuz, and here in the Bayis Sheni, it says Beferish in the Gemara that the siege of Yerushalayim also was 3 years. It does not tell us when the siege began. If we knew when the siege began, probably someone would suggest that we should fast on that day also. Because that was just like there's an Asara B'Teves for the beginning of the siege of the Bayis Rishon. There was an Asara B'Teves, the beginning of the siege for the Bayis Sheni. Okay, let's refer to the word very quickly. Let me just read one last word over here. So they went, and so he laid siege for 3 years. Halibahani Tlosa Atidi, they were three very wealthy people who lived in Yerushalayim, that were very generous, that were willing to support Yerushalayim for 21 years. had enough food there for 20. Isn't it amazing? Hashgacha brought this 21 years. Yoyim Lashana. We have from the beginning of the siege until the Churban, there was really enough food to survive. I mean, there wasn't supposed to be a Churban. 21 years. Yoyim Lashana, we have 21 days. 21 days between Shavuos v'Tammuz and the number 21 over here is not an accent. Who are the three people? Makdimoin ben Gurion. He was a very wealthy person that supplied water for the Oilei Regalim, and there was Uben Kalbo Savua. That was his nickname, Kalbo Savua. Uben Tzitzis Hakeses. Who are these three people? Nakdim ben Gurion, Shenok do Leichava Bavuro. The sun shone. Zorcha, unusual word. On his behalf, he went and he borrowed money, he borrowed water for the Oilei Regalim. A miracle happened that it was a cloudy day, a whole story, not for now, but the sun shined on his behalf. He was very generous with his money. For Klal Yisrael, for Oilei Regalim and Kalba Savua, a very noble person, he would feed the poor. A dog is the only animal in the world that is never, ever satisfied. But if a person came into his home that was like a dog, he was able to satisfy and give him so much food. And then it was ben tzitzis hakeses, which means that he had tzitzis, and he didn't want them to get dirty, so the tzitzis would drag on the floor on top of pillows. Some say it means that his name was tzitzis, and when it says keses, it means that he had a seat in Rome. He was close to the government, to the Caesar. Now, by the way, that's part of the irony. The irony over here is that this person was part of government. How then can the Caesar lay siege to a city where one of the wealthiest people in the city is a citizen of Rome? You always hear about this, and that whenever there's an event, a tragedy, or there's some type of situation, so every country is responsible for their citizens. Let's say Chas V'Shalom is a hijacking. Chas V'Shalom. Are there any American citizens on board? If there are, so that means that the government is responsible. You're a citizen. I'm a citizen. I pay taxes. You, my government, are responsible to help me get out of here. Save me. And every country, how many citizens? So let's say you have someone, they're all Ethiopians. So the United States says, it's not our problem. They're all Ethiopians. They're all British citizens. They're all Swiss citizens. Not our problem. But if you have an American citizen, it's your problem. It's your problem. So here, look at the irony. There was a Roman citizen in Yerushalayim under siege. He wasn't just Stam, a Roman citizen. He was one of the wealthiest people in the world.
Yeah, well, Roman citizenship was automatic for Romans, I mean.
He had a seat.
It was a privilege.
He had a seat in the government. His keses, his kise, was in the government. How then? That alone should be a reason why the Romans should call off the siege. You don't go harm one of your own. If we have in this country a noble, one of the nobles, a senator, can you imagine you have an airplane, you have a senator, a member of the cabinet is on his hijacking, the government's going to send in the CIA, they're going to send in the special forces because this is one of our own. You have over here a person who has a seat in government, and yet the Romans are laying siege to the city for three years. It goes to show Hasina Mikalkeles Es Ashura. When you hate someone, all the rules and regulations out the door. Nothing, don't care about nothing. The hatred for a person, Hasina Mikalkeles Es Ashura. This is not the way a responsible government behaves. You have a country, a little city, Yerushalayim, and you have in the country a member of parliament, a member of the Senate, a member of the cabinet, who happens also to be one of the richest people in the world, and you go and you lay siege to kill him, to allow him to die, 3-year siege? What are you doing? What kind of country are you? What kind of country are you? You don't do this. Not the way countries conduct business. The answer is, don't tell us what to do. There are Jews in this city. We hate the Jews. There are no rules and regulations anymore. Hasina mikalkeles es hashura. Go look at all, the whole history is like this. The Holocaust, what went on, and the government saved the Jews, what goes on today. You listen to these Senate hearings, how they rip apart the FBI, they rip apart these people in all different branches of the government. Like, the corruption is unbelievable. Why? Why did you do this? Hasina mikalkeles es hashura. We hate Trump so much. We hate him with such a sinner. We'll break every rule in government to get what we want. This is the Musa Haskell. And when it comes to Klal Yisrael, halacha biyadeinu esav soinei Yaakov. Got to watch out. Hasina mikalkeles es hashura. All right, we'll stop here. Mm-hmm.